The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Third Canto, Chapter Number 5. Texts Number 37 and 38. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on December 25th, 2014, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhutanam Nabha Adinam Yat Yat Bhavya Avara. Can you all read the board from over here? Can you read the board? The board should be moved so the more devotees can read it. Adinam Yat Yat Bhavya Avara Varam Tesham Pada Anusang Shagat Sankhyam Gunan Vidu Bhutanam Nava Adinam Yajad Bhavya Varavaram Teshang Puranusang Sargad Yata Sankhyam Gunan Vidu Bhutanam Nava Adinam Yajad Bhavya Varavaram Teshang Paranusam Sargad Yata Sankhyam Gunan Vidu. Bhutanam,
of all the physical elements,
Nabha,
the sky,
Adinam,
beginning from,
Yat,
as,
Yat,
and as,
Bhavya,
O gentle one,
Avara,
inferior,
Varam,
superior,
Tesham,
all of them,
Pada,
the supreme,
Anusamsargat,
last touch,
Yata,
as many,
Sankhyam,
number,
Gunan,
qualities,
Vidu,
you may understand. Translation. O gentle one, of all the physical elements, beginning from the sky down to the earth, all the inferior and superior qualities are due only to the final touch of the glance of the personality of Godhead. Text 38. Ete devakala vishno kala mayangshalinginaha nanatvatsva kriyanisha prachu pranjaleo vibhum. The controlling deities of all the above mentioned physical elements are empowered expansions of Lord Vishnu. They are embodied by eternal time under the external energy, and they are his parts and parcels. Because they were entrusted with different functions of universal duties and were unable to perform them, they offered fascinating prayers to the Lord as follows. Purport.
the conception of various controlling demigods who inhabit the higher planets for the management of universal affairs is not imaginary, as proposed by persons with a poor fund of knowledge. The demigods are expanded parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and they are embodied by time, external energy, and partial consciousness of the Supreme. Human beings, animals, birds, etc., are also parts and parcels of the Lord and have different material bodies, but they are not the controlling deities of material affairs. They are rather controlled by such demigods. Such control is not superfluous. It is necessary as the controlling departments in the affairs of a modern state. The demigods should not be despised by the controlled living beings. They are all great devotees of the Lord, entrusted to execute certain functions of universal affairs. One may be angry with Yamaraj for his thankless task of punishing sinful souls, but Yamaraj is one of the authorized devotees of the Lord, and so are all the other demigods. A devotee of the Lord is never controlled by such deputed demigods who function as assistants of the Lord, but he shows them all respects on account of the responsible positions to which they have been appointed by the Lord. At the same time, a devotee of the Lord does not foolishly mistake them to be the Supreme Lord. Only foolish persons accept the demigods as being on the same level as Vishnu. Actually, they are all appointed as servants of Vishnu. Anyone who places the Lord and the demigods on the same level is called a Parshandi, or atheist. The demigods are worshipped by persons who are more or less adherents of the processes of jnana, yoga, and karma. In other words, the impersonalists, meditators, and fruitive workers. The devotees, however, worship only the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This worship is not for any material benefit, as desired by all the materialists, even up to the salvationists, mystics, and fruitive workers. Devotees worship the Supreme Lord to attain unalloyed devotion to the Lord. The Lord, however, is not worshipped by others who have no program for attaining love of God, which is the essential aim of human life. Persons averse to loving relationships with God are more or less condemned by their own actions. The Lord is equal to every living entity, just like the flowing Ganges. The Ganges water is meant for the purification of everyone, yet the trees on the banks of the Ganges have different values. A mango tree on the bank of the Ganges drinks the water, and the neem tree also drinks the same water, but the fruits of both trees are different. One is celestially sweet, and the other is hellishly bitter. The condemned bitterness of the neem is due to its own past work, just as the sweetness of the mango is also due to its own karma. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Tanahang Dushatakraram Sankshareshu Naradaman Chip Yajashram Ashubam Asarishe Vajonishu. The envious, the mischievous, the lowest of mankind, these do I ever put back into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Demigods like Yamaraj and other controllers are there for the unwanted conditioned souls who always engage in threatening the tranquility of the kingdom of God. Since all the demigods are confidential devotee servitors of the Lord, they are never to be condemned. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitam Cha
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschandrajishatarine. So, is Krishna all merciful? Somebody asked me. I just got an email because they saw this verse here, 16:19, that Krishna puts them into the demoniac species of life. So he asked me, how can God be all merciful if he's putting all of these personalities into the lower species in the demoniac kingdom? Well, Krishna actually is facilitating everyone. If you want to be a demon, Krishna will let you be a demon. So you can get a taste of it. Well, you get your desire satisfied to be a demon, then you can also, after some time, realize how unhappy it actually is to be a demon. So, as Krishna gives everyone what they want. If you don't want Krishna, he will give you. He'll give you the chance to be separate from him in this material existence. And to keep some order here, he has the demigods keeping the prison in order. It's like the government will have they'll hire a warden and so many prison administrators. They're also situated physically within the prison, but they're employees of the state. They're not prisoners. Of course, in this case, the demigods are all themselves prisoners, although they're highly placed prisoners. They are also not completely free from material desire, and that's why they're here. But they're highly trusted personalities. They are servants of Krishna, with some tendency to want to lord it over the material nature. So, people are very fond of worship the demigods to get some material benefits. They take the demigods as being the same as Krishna. This is very, very offensive. This is the second offense against the holy name, to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. One has to always remember Krishna is Deva Deva. He is the God of the gods. He's not another one of the gods. Actually, this philosophy that all the gods, there's many, many gods. There's no one supreme god. They're all God. This is atheism. If there's no supreme god, that's atheism. Even though they worship the demigods, actually it's atheism. And Prabhupada confirms this point. He says, anyone who places the demigods and the Lord on the same level is an atheist. You may say, well, how are they going to be an atheist if they believe in the demigods? But actually they are, because they don't accept any supreme god. Described here, they are empowered expansions of Lord Vishnu. This means that Lord Vishnu is full of power. Krishna or Vishnu is the empowering person behind all of existence. Nothing exists outside of his energy. Maya, that is described in the Brahma Samhita, that he is the support of all existence. Maya hi yascha jagadanda shatanni tute traigunya tadvashaya veda yatavyamana sarvavalam viparasatvam vishujashatvam govindam adipurusham damaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So Krishna is the absolute substantive principle.
Existence is substantial. It has substance. It's not an illusion like the Buddhists would tell us. You see. There is substance here. It's not just some illusion. There is actual substance. And Krishna is the absolute substantive principle behind all of existence. He's empowering the demigods. He's empowering everything. Everything that's going on. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. The sun rises every morning, the seasons are coming and going, everything. The mango trees are coming, it's producing the fruits, the lychee fruits, the bananas, everything, pineapples. Everything that is coming out is all by the potency of the Lord. So to not acknowledge this and to take these things and use them for our sense gratification, that's called sin, you see. You're taking, but you're not acknowledging. It's greed to take all of these, this wonderful bounty that Krishna is giving us, you see. Nitya nitya nam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. There is one supreme eternal amongst the plural eternals. There is one conscious being amongst the plural conscious beings. The difference is eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. That one is providing all the necessities for the many. So if we don't acknowledge that one who is giving us all of our necessities, we are ingrates, despicable characters, greedy, selfish people who don't know how to reciprocate love. Misers. Note the connection between the English word miser and the English word miserable. Miser means miserable. As long as you remain a miser, one who does not reciprocate the love that's given to you by that Supreme Person, you're going to be miserable. That's a fact. So whatever, we can even psychoanalyze ourselves. To whatever extent I'm miserable, that's due to my miserly nature of not reciprocating with Krishna for this wonderful mercy he's bestowing upon me, this unlimited, wonderful mercy he's bestowing on me at every minute. You don't have to go very far to figure out why you're miserable. It's simply due to miserliness that we are miserable. To whatever extent then you overcome your miserly nature of selfishness and greed, to that extent you'll become happy in Krishna consciousness. Don't blame it on others. Well, it's my, you know, my spiritual master didn't engage me properly, or this or that. The temple authority is not engaging me properly, or I don't have the proper job, or, you know, so many things we may say. Why I'm not happy. But this is superfluous. The actual reason we're not happy is simply due to our lack of Krishna consciousness. Whatever unhappiness we have is simply due to our lack of Krishna consciousness. There was one time when Brahmachari, he thought, well, you know, I'm not very happy as a Brahmachari, and there's so many nice Brahmacharinis here. I'm just going to get married and then I'll be happy. So he got married and he still wasn't happy, you see. You know that the grass is green on the other side of the fence. You see, you know. He got on the other side of the fence and he was still unhappy. And he wrote Prabhupada, Prabhupada, now I want to take sannyas. He wanted to flip over and jump the fence once again, you know. Prabhupada chastised him. He said, Your unhappiness is simply due to your lack of Krishna consciousness. It's not due to the external situation, it's your lack of Krishna consciousness. So this is a very simple formula. Whatever unhappiness we have, each one of us, you know, as we're trying to get out of the clutches of Maya and become pure devotees, you know, whatever unhappiness we have in our hearts is simply due to our lack of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to understand this is my most important thing I must do at every minute, is try to increase my Krishna consciousness. Whether I'm at home, or I'm at the temple, or I'm at the job, whether I'm, you know, doing some service, whether I'm taking care of my body, whatever I'm doing, you see, I have to always try to do in such a way that I can increase my Krishna consciousness more and more and more, because that's the only way we'll be happy. You're not going to be happy by money or, you know, moving to another side of town or whatever it may be, a different apartment, and getting a house, getting a new car. These things are okay. Whatever, you can have your comforts, but that those comforts will never make you happy. They will never, in a million years, material comforts will never ever make you happy, because you're not material. You are a spiritual being. You're qualitatively one with Krishna. So your happiness comes by reconnecting with that beautiful Lord. Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha lakshavrate shushurabhi ravipalayantam lakshmi sahasrashata sambram sevamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham vrajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, fulfilling all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, and always worshipped with great love and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. That's all we really have to do, is that to reconnect with Krishna. And where will he find him? He's everywhere. Especially he's available here, but actually Krishna is present everywhere. It's a matter of developing the consciousness. Ekopyaso rachavitam jagananda kotim yachakhtarashti jagadanda chaya yadanta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. He's an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. So then what does Brahma say? He says, such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. I love that word adore, I really do. Compare it with the word love. I love you. Okay, it's cool. I adore you. Wow. You see, that's really a cool word that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has used in his translation. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. Adore means you're head over heels, madly in love, you see. I absolutely adore you. You see? So that's what we have to come to, that position of absolutely adoring Krishna. Where all you can do is think about him. Oh, he's so beautiful. He's so powerful. He's so renowned. He's so wealthy. He's so famous. He's so intelligent and all-knowing. It's just every aspect of Krishna is just, he's absolutely awesome. You see? In this way, we just have to be totally absorbed in Krishna Smaranam. Wow. To get to chant his name, it's so, what a wonderful opportunity to get to see his deity form or a photograph or to hear about one of his pastimes. What an amazing blessing, you see. Just to experience Krishna, 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 Krishna. You see, this is Krishna consciousness. To be mad after God, you see. Yeah. A Krishna addict. Addicted to Krishna. I can't live without, just like a heroin addict. He can't live without his heroin. He's got to have another fix. Ah, got to shoot up some more heroin today. I can't handle life without shooting up some heroin, you see. So we got to shoot up Krishna. By Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Shoot Krishna into our consciousness through this powerful mantra, you see. Our consciousness now just is full of all kinds of crud, dirty crud, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, laziness, craziness, haziness, you see. Completely contaminated, grotesque, horribly filthy, moochy consciousness. Isn't it? Join the club. So, here's the way out. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, I'll take some questions now. I see there's a stack waiting for me here. Okay. Why engaging in sex life is detrimental to spiritual life? And why it is criticized in scriptures as stumbling block to spiritual practice? Sex life is not considered to be detrimental for spiritual life. If you're producing saintly children, Krishna says, I am not sex, which is not against religious principles. If you're having sex or producing a kid following the order of your spiritual master once in a month after the menstrual cycle, after chanting 50 rounds of japa, and you're doing it as a sacramental service to the Supreme Lord, that is Krishna himself. That sex will help liberate you from this material existence. But other sex, which is not according to religious principles, that will bring you tightly into the bodily concept of life and bind you in this, to take birth again. Because actually we don't need sex. We don't need it. Because I'm not this body. See? I'm actually an eternal spiritual being. The only thing I need is to have a loving relationship with Krishna. That's all I need. But if I think I'm this body, then I may think, oh, I need to have some sex, you know. Got to have some sex. No, I don't have to have any sex. It's not required. In fact, sex life, the more you can abstain from sex life, you become powerful. Okay. According to the ninth offense against the holy name, we should not preach to the faithless. No, don't preach the glories of the holy name to the faithless. Don't change the scriptures, Prabhu. You don't go out and start just like the glories of the holy name are described by Rupa Goswami. You see, Tunde Tandamni Vitanite Tanavali Lamni. That when you vibrate Krishna, there's unlimited nectar, more than your mouth can hold. So you don't go out and tell that kind of stuff to people on the street. You know, when you say Krishna, there's unlimited nectar, more than the whole universe can hold. It's too much. They're not ready for it yet. You see. You tell them on their level. You don't. It's just like if you don't go to a first grade elementary class and teach the kids calculus. Okay, that's the point. It doesn't say don't teach math, but don't teach calculus to first graders. That's all. That's what it means. Because Lord Chaitanya says, Jari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesham. Ever you meet, you must present to him the teachings of Krishna. So you have to present it on his level. That's what it means. It doesn't mean don't preach. It means you don't preach beyond their level. You have to come, Prabhupada preach to everybody. You have to see how to preach to that person on level where they've appreciated it. That's the key. How today's purport explains the nature of mango tree and neem tree. Similarly, we all have different conditioned natures. Now, irrespective of these natures, how should I serve everyone equally on a practical level? Well, the Ganges is equal to the neem and to the mango tree, giving both of them water. So you should be kind to everyone. Try to connect them with Krishna, everyone, according to their level. Okay, if one is peaceful, blissful, and happy, satisfied with Krishna consciousness and in one's own company, and he has no desire to mingle with others, especially non-devotees, even family and close friends, is it okay to keep away, ignore, and cut off? Actually, we don't require, Lord Chaitanya says, asat sanga tyag. The first principle of Krishna consciousness is to give up the association of non-devotees. We don't require their association. You may continue to associate with them for their benefit. That's okay. But actually, we don't need any non-devotee association. We don't need any non-devotee association. We simply require the association of devotees. But we should be kind and use our relationships with them to give them Krishna consciousness. Though there is so much scope for advancement of brahmacharyasram, where does the fear of the future and protection come from? Bodily identification. That's where you... Fear is due to bodily identification. If you think you're their body, then death, you'll be scared of death. But you're not your body, so why are you afraid of death? It's often hard to realize that my suffering is due to my lack of Krishna consciousness. I think if I just have certain things or certain sense pleasures, it will make me happy. Yeah, you're a fool. That's a bit. Sorry, I got to tell the truth. It's my duty. I'm sitting in the Vyasasana. I have to speak the truth. How to maintain enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness? Well, I have a simple formula that Prabhupada... I was ordered by Prabhupada to always be enthusiastic. What can I say? I have to be. Otherwise, I'm a guru aparadhi. If I'm not fired up at every minute, I'm an offender against my spiritual master. So you can take it as an order that you must be always be enthusiastic. You're now ordered. All of you must be enthusiastic at every minute. So don't deviate from that order. Some people are so much attached to demigod worship, all quotes from scriptures would not help them to the right conclusion. What would help them? Well, if the scripture doesn't work, you better feed them a lot of prasadam, and that'll purify their intelligence, and someday they will accept it. I am a demon. Thanks for being honest. And if I am given the free will, I will continue to remain one. How can I give my free will to Krishna? You have to put yourself under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That's what Rupa Goswami instructs. There's three things you have to do if you want to get out of Maya. Take shelter, get initiated, and be obeyed. And these are the three main points that he gives in this Prabhupada explains in the Nectar Devotion. We have to take shelter of a guru, we have to get initiated by a guru, and then we have to become obedient to him. The whole 64 items of bhakti are actually summarized in those three things. We call it the tripod, the bhakti tripod. If you have three legs, it's solid. So these are the three legs. Take shelter of guru, get initiated by guru, and be fully obedient. And then you'll overcome all your anarthas if you just do those three things fully. According to Christians, Jesus Christ died on the cross. I heard from other sources that Jesus did not die on the cross, that he went to India. What is your view on this? Of course he didn't die because he's immortal. Actually, there are descriptions that he went to India. That he was actually buried later on in Kashmir. The tomb is actually there. The tomb of Lord Jesus is actually there. And it's described that, look at the difference between Haridas Thakur. He appeared to be dead. He went into some trance-like state. They took him for dead. They threw his body in the river. And then he came out the other side, alive and without any injuries. So Jesus appeared to be dead. They put him in a tomb and he came out. It's the same thing. Very similar thing. What is the role of parents in Krishna consciousness? The parents must deliver their children from the cycle of birth and death, otherwise they are the enemies of their children. How do we develop taste for Prabhupada's books? Read, 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 read. At every spare minute, read Prabhupada's books and you'll become addicted to them. There's nothing like Prabhupada's books. They're oozing unlimited nectar from every page. They're like, every word is like the sweetest glob jamun you ever popped in your mouth in all of eternity. Just going to read, 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 read every spare minute. How to overcome anger and envy? Just become happy in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When the mind and anger is building up, just start chanting Hare Krishna. That's how you, when anger starts to come up, just go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That will help conquer it. I'm trying to tell my parents to be Krishna conscious, but I'm not able to convince them. How can I explain them better? You become Krishna conscious. You become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and then by your example, so many people, including your parents, will become inspired. I met one of my friends yesterday. I discussed with him the value of Krishna consciousness. He replied that he is a non-believer. When I asked him the reason, he said, if there's a true God, then why the situation in the world in Syria and Pakistan and other countries? If there is a true God, he would never see such things getting happen, how to answer this and tackle this situation. Krishna is facilitating because the living entities wanted to be independent. He's giving them a chance to do it. That's his kindness. Krishna does not force people to serve him. He doesn't want robots in his kingdom. He gives everyone the choice to love him or to leave him. So there are some who foolishly choose to leave him. That's not his fault. He's giving everyone the free chance. And if they misuse it, that's their fault. It's not his fault. If the spiritual spark is marginal, does the spiritual spark have form in the Ramana effulgence? Actually, the spiritual spark always has form, but he's in the Brahman effulgence. The spark is a seed-like condition of the living entity. Just like now, we are spiritual sparks situated 1/10,000th of the pip of the hair within the heart of the body. It's our present position. But when you actually go back to Golok, to the spiritual world, then that. From this, like a little banyan seed can produce a huge banyan tree, then your spiritual form will come out again. You have it right now, but it's in a dormant condition. So whether you're in the material world or you're in Brahman, in either case, your spiritual form is in a dormant condition, like the banyan tree inside the banyan tree seed. And it will come out again when you get back to your original position in the spiritual sky. I love the way you do kirtan. It's really nectar. And I adore you very much. Well, thank you. a little embarrassing. I don't feel myself very adorable. Pretty horrible character, really. But I'm just a mercy case of Prabhupada. Somehow he plucked me out of the stool of material consciousness, engage me in his service. Anything that you find adorable in me is actually just Prabhupada's mercy itself. It's not really me, it's Prabhupada's mercy. It's all his mercy. Actually, Bhaktivinoda sings like this. He says, Gurudev, your mercy is all that I'm made of. So if there's anything good in me, it's simply Prabhupada's mercy. I don't get the credit for anything. It's just Prabhupada's mercy. We're having some problem here with our internet connection. We have people online. Tells me then to get disconnected soon. But anyway, we'll continue. What should I do if some devotees are checking their mobile phone or reading news on the laptop or doing their japa? I feel it's not a proper way of chanting, but I am hesitant to tell that devotee. Well, one thing is, you're not focused on your rounds either. You're focused on them. So why don't you set a good example of focusing on your rounds? How to establish a loving relationship with Krishna? By taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. Do we have to give up family relationships with members of the family who don't follow Krishna consciousness and don't want to follow? Yes and no. Actually, you should be detached from it. But at the same time, you can maintain it for their benefit. If you feel you need to have those relationships for your happiness, that's nonsense. You don't. All you need is association devotees. You have to give up your attachment, but you can go ahead and be and continue to associate with them for their benefit. Of course, there's a natural attachment. We don't deny that. But you have to intelligently utilize that attachment for their benefit. Don't let them manipulate you. You have to learn how to take charge of them and engage them in Krishna consciousness. That's true love. Otherwise, it's just some sentiment. And it's no beneficial for them, nor is it beneficial for you. You have mentioned that unhappiness arises from a lack of Krishna consciousness. However, it is so hard to completely something from happiness, to get happiness only from the spiritual platform. Well, it's not hard. You think it's hard, but it's not. You just have to go deep into the holy name. You have to take this process as it is. You have to study the 64 items given in chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion. Sincerely try to execute them. And by doing that, you'll find that spiritual happiness is as easy as pie, as we say in America. So this is going to be the last one. I understand I should... You give me the rest, I'll answer them tomorrow. I understand I should surrender to Krishna. However, I feel I should achieve a few material goals before I surrender. Well, you're not going to be able to surrender. That's your move. You know? Because, well, a few material goals, now a few more material goals, and a few more material goals, you're going to be here in the perpetually, birth after birth, for a few more material goals, a few more material goals. No. Lay aside all your material goals and say, I have one goal in my life and one goal only, and that is to fully surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. You're going to be stuck in the cycle of birth and death perpetually. Okay, that's it. Our time is up, and we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly dive deep, 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 deep into this ocean of Krishna prema, and you'll be the happiest person you could ever imagine that anyone could ever be in all of history. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.